Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on iHeart and Radio MD. Thanks very much for downloading us. We're talking to one of my favorite people today and someone who I think has made a real impact on the health in America and the health of all Americans, literally helping millions of us. This is podcast 911B. I guess that means we've been doing it more than 16 years. And in September will be our anniversary, but this is probably, I think this may be our anniversary show. So we're lucky to have someone who's been here before and is outstanding, Daniel G. Amen. He's the founder of the Amen Clinics, and I'm going to talk to him about where those are. I know there's one in someplace in Pennsylvania, and there's one in Atlanta, Chicago, New York. I think there's one in Reston, Virginia, as well as in Walnut Creek, California, and he'll tell us if there are more than that. But he's done a remarkable job in taking the data from these and identifying the causes of brain aging, as well as in interpreting it and telling us about it. He, of course, has the wonderful book that I love, actually. It's Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. He's got a new book coming out shortly, Feel Better Fast and Make It Last. We'll talk to him about that, too. Dan, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Well, what a joy to talk to you. Thank you for allowing me to talk about our work.
Well, it's a privilege to have you. Now, let me talk to you about this work. This is about brain aging, which all of us are concerned with. But is there a stable pattern of brain aging, or how did you decide that some of these diseases accelerate aging and some don't? How do we interpret aging from scans?
So we've been doing a number of different brain imaging studies over the years. We've been doing it more than 30 years now. And the study that we just published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease is on our work with brain SPECT imaging. So SPECT is a nuclear medicine study that looks at blood flow and activity. It looks at how the brain works. And if you do brain imaging with SPECT, you know, for more than a few months, you realize that little kids have very busy brains. And as we get older, it gets less and less active. So sort of like as your skin falls off your face when you age, because it has decreased health and decreased blood flow. The same process happens in the brain. But
so
what we discovered...
Is the SPECT scan related solely to blood flow, or is there are there other parameters? In other words, if I, for example, move my hand, does that area controlling my hand increase blood flow?
It's blood flow and activity. So they're coupled in the brain. And so if you move your hand, you'll have increased blood flow in that area for that microsecond. It's a very stable pattern, though, over time, what we see. And because we've done thousands of people today and then a couple of weeks from now. So the pattern we see is stable, so it doesn't change with your thoughts. And it looks at blood flow, yes, but also activity, how active a certain part of the brain is. And I basically say SPECT tells us three things: good activity, too little, or too much. And then as psychiatrists, our job is to balance it. If your brain works too hard, we want to calm it down. If it doesn't work hard enough, we want to stimulate it. And we see people, in fact, the study, our youngest patient in the study was 9 months. Our oldest was 105, and it was based on 62,454 scans. So it's the world's largest functional imaging study. And we saw the pattern we see clinically over time. Your brain really does get less and less active. but there were certain things that accelerated aging. And we know clinically there are certain things that decelerate aging. And the worst actor was having schizophrenia, which is a very serious psychiatric disorder where you lose touch with reality. And what we've seen clinically, those are some of the most damaged brains. But the next worst actor, which we didn't expect, was marijuana. That marijuana accelerated aging worse than smoking, worse than alcohol, worse than bipolar disorder, worse than having ADHD. All of those things increased aging. And that surprised us. And it really should give us pause on, you know, everybody's excited, you know, as the perception of a drug dangerousness goes down, its use goes up. And there's a new study out today on pregnant mothers. You know, people, women who are pregnant, 5% of them have marijuana in their bodies when that's been tested. And in Colorado, where it's legal, that number is 20%. And that worries me.
And how is this a little bit of marijuana, a lot of marijuana that causes aging? When you say, is this people who do it three times or more a week, or is this an occasional user? And what's the long-term effect? Because a lot of us, you're probably of that era where even if you didn't smoke, you did inhale. You did the reverse Bill Clinton. I didn't smoke, but I did inhale, if you will. If I was in the, I lived through the summer of love in San Francisco as a medical student. And as we studied on Sunday afternoons, the yellow haze over Golden Gate Park obviously was able to get in our bodies.
Right. So in our study, it's anyone who had a diagnosis of marijuana use. So it's not the occasional user where it's someone where it's not a problem. It's our physicians identified it as a problem in their life. So it's more than the occasional user, but clearly it broke out from the rest of our diagnoses.
Now, is this smokers, or is it if you took it also as a edible? Or were you unable to get that?
No, we didn't separate it. Most of them were smokers. But that's why it was so interesting that smokers, people just smoke cigarettes, their accelerated aging was not nearly as bad as the pot smokers. And so, because a lot of people go, well, you know, it's smoking, which, you know, of course, increases free radicals in your lungs and poison to your body. And it's like, no, it was more than that. And I published a study a year and a half ago in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease on 1,000 pot smokers compared to healthy brains. Every area was lower, especially in the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is the brain's major memory center. And that's why, you know, I was on the Michael Savage show. I don't know if you remember him, but sure. In San Francisco many years ago. And I had another study come out on marijuana. And he's like, oh, this is going to cause so much controversy. We're going to get all these haters calling in. And I'm like, Michael, I'll bet you $10 that everybody who calls in who's been smoking pot for a long time will want to talk about why their memory's no good. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what our study suggests. So it doesn't mean it shouldn't be legal. I mean, I'm like, please don't put potheads in jail. But let's not say it's good for you. Except if you're dying of cancer and it helps you eat, awesome. Or, you know, for children who have resistant seizure disorders, CBD has actually just been approved by the FDA as a treatment. And CBD may be a useful part of the hemp plant or the marijuana plant.
Now, let's look at aging in general. Could, if you followed my brain, can you tell, in other words, if you did spec scans, and I forgive me because I don't know how much risk there is in them, if any, but if you did spec scans on me every, say, 5 years, could you see a consistent pattern relating to my aging, or does it show up all of a sudden, or is there, are there, should I get it, would you get it every 20 years to follow aging, or is it not that discriminatory with aging?
It's really good to look at aging. And we can tell a decade or more before you have any symptoms whether or not you're headed toward Alzheimer's disease. And that's just not my research. Other people have said functional imaging studies like SPECT are abnormal decades before you have any trouble. So we can tell if a train is going to hit you. And I think it makes for a great screening tool. There is some radiation, about the same as a head CT. So, you know, a study that's done millions of times every year in the U.S. But the beautiful thing, it's a leading indicator of trouble. As opposed to an MRI, that's a lagging indicator of trouble. When you've lost tissue, there's not much you're going to do to get it back. But SPECT will say your brain is headed to the dark place. You need to do X, Y, and Z to recover it. And that's why the title of my book you mentioned, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, is you're not stuck with what you have. You can make it better, and I can prove it.
Well, let's go and get to there in a second. Where I want to go first is SPECT is a measure of blood flow and activity, you said. And there are things we can do to increase our blood flow. Are there things we should do to increase our activity as well? In other words, speed of processing games or that type of thing, do those increase activity or do those increase blood flow or both?
Both. And I have a new book out, was out last year. It's called Memory Rescue. And here's the idea behind it. If you want to keep your brain healthy or rescue it if it's headed for the dark place, you have to prevent or treat the 11 major risk factors that steal your mind. And we know what they are. In fact, you write about them a lot. But the number one, so I have a mnemonic I created. It's called Bright Minds. And the mnemonic, B, stands for blood flow. Low blood flow is the number one brain imaging predictor of Alzheimer's disease. So what are the things that lower blood flow to the brain? Any cardiovascular risk factor, hypertension, heart disease, heart attack, heart arrhythmia, plaque. You know, if you have blood flow problems anywhere, it likely means they're everywhere because your brain uses 20% of the blood flow in your body. So exercise, especially racket sports. I'm a huge fan of ginkgo because it increases blood flow. Also, cayenne pepper, rosemary, beets increase nitric oxide and blood flow to the brain. So it's, okay, under blood flow, know your risk, and here are things to do about it. And I have that for each of the Bright Minds risk factors.
So we should say the Bright Minds is the on PBS now. At least it is in our area, and so one can both contribute to their PBS station and get some of the gifts related to that, the thank you gifts, that will teach you how to increase your mind and your blood flow and get you to a brighter memory. So one of these is cardiovascular, and exercise is obviously some of it, and you went through a few supplements. And we talked a little bit about activity. How much does stress affect your blood flow or your activity, I suppose we could say?
So stress increases cortisol. Cortisol has actually been shown to decrease blood flow and actually shrink your hippocampus. So being under chronic stress, so I would put that under M for mental health, because mental health issues also prematurely age the brain. Chronic stress, depression, untreated bipolar disorder, ADHD. So getting your mind right, which I would actually say is getting your brain right, helps you so much. And the studies on meditation, they fooled us. Because, you know, most people would think, oh, if you're going to meditate, that's going to decrease activity and blood flow to your brain. It's going to calm things down. It absolutely doesn't do that. It fires up your frontal lobes. It actually improves blood flow to your prefrontal cortex, that most human, thoughtful part of the brain.
We're talking with Dr. Daniel Amen, the founder of the Amen Clinics, and I've mentioned a few of them before, but there are more, who has done this study combined with some investigators from Google and Johns Hopkins and UCLA to look at a aging of the brain and what causes it relating to mental illness. I was surprised to find that, and you, I guess, were as well, at least as I read the article, that depression did not cause as great a change as you expect or as great an aging change. We should mention that Dr. Daniel Amen is the author of one magnificent book that I've read, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, and also has done a new book, which is coming out soon, called Feel Better Fast, Make It Last. And I assume the make it last is make your brain last.
Well, it's so many people, they go after what makes me feel good now, but not later, think ice cream or alcohol or marijuana, versus now and later. And so that's the make it last part, which is what are those habits I can put in my life that make me feel good over time. And part of it is falling in love with your brain, because if you keep your brain right, you feel right, then you act right, and your relationships are better, and your money's better. You know, we don't love the brain or respect the brain like we should, and that's why, you know, we can cheer when we go to a football game, even though what you're actually witnessing are the destruction of those players' brains.
Got you. So let's go in. While you talked about football, what's your prediction? Will we have football in its current or anywhere close to its current form in 10 years?
Well, I don't know if you and I have ever talked about it.
I don't think
about
we have.
About a decade ago, we started our big NFL study. So we have scanned and treated over 200 NFL players at a time when the NFL wasn't as forthcoming as they could have been. And I published 5 studies on it, and we saw high levels of damage in virtually all of the players, and also the possibility of recovery. So 80% of our players, when we put them on this Bright Minds program, show improvement in as little as 2 months. And so I know everybody's talking about CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It gets a lot of media attention. But I'm like, wait, you know, CTE is a diagnosis of dead people, right? It's let's get them when they're living and let's reverse it. That's what I get really excited about. But you have to put the brain in a healing environment. And our society's not doing that. The D in Bright Minds is diabetes, high blood sugar, and or being overweight, with 70% of us overweight, 40% of us obese, diabetes or pre-diabetes at record levels, we're destroying our brains. I published 2 studies that show your weight goes up, the size and function of your brain. goes down. So that means you have to get your food right. And if you just think of the food they serve at the football stadium, it's probably not good for your brain. And then back to your question, there are many schools decreasing or eliminating their football programs because parents are not letting their kids sign up for football as much anymore. I think Pop Warner has gone down by more than 50%. And parents are wising up that if they want their children to grow up to be healthy and happy, they should not expose them to sports that the whole point is collision. And helmets do not protect you from concussion. They protect you from skull fractures. So I think there's going to be a significant change over time. And that's a good thing, because we should be respecting the brain, not subjecting it to damage.
And so go a little bit further with you on this new avenue, if you will. Should we, if you were to say, in the best of all possible worlds, would you take every 55-year-old or 60-year-old and scan them and say, this is your brain age or your brain's blood flow and activity age? This is, and let's get on it, we'll to change it. Or do you think, in other words, we know what to do for the brain, right? I mean, you've already spelled out it is getting rid of diabetes, and you've done that yourself, clearly. It is managing the cardiovascular risk factors like hypertension. It is doing a bunch of other things on meditation, managing stress. It is getting rid of toxins like tobacco and too much marijuana use. So should we? Is there a value to us getting a SPECT scan on everyone, or do you think we know enough that we should just do it? Or and how do we motivate people? I mean, one of my things is we just pay people at the Cleveland Clinic to get them healthier, and it works. But how do we do that as a society?
Well, if I had my druthers, I would scan everybody, because
it's that motivating, you think.
Right? Everybody's different. I mean, some people, and I would actually, if you have Alzheimer's disease in your family, I would start at 40, because the evidence is that you're already, you have noxious changes in your brain decades before you have any symptoms. I think if you don't have Alzheimer's disease in your family, I think 50 is a great time to start. And if your brain is healthy, keep doing what you're doing. But if it's not healthy, then the scans are so motivating. And they give you direction on what to do to optimize your brain. See, we can never forget that 51% of us at some point in our life will have a psychiatric problem. And this is, you know, research from the National Institute of Mental Health. Depression is rampant. Dr. Oz and I did a show on 23% of women between the ages of 20 and 60 are on antidepressant medication. That's insane. And in partly, it's because we don't, as a society, love and care for our brain. And so, yes, everybody should be doing a Bright Minds program if they love themselves. But how do I know what's going on in your brain unless I actually look at it? And so, you know, I'm not a fan of one size fits everybody. And so in Memory Rescue, it's like, okay, well, what are your risk factors? And here are the strategies for you. And I'm on the You podcast, so I'd love that.
That's right. So we, as you know, Dr. Oz and I wrote You, the Owner's Manual radio, or You, the Owner's Manual book. And that's where this podcast started, I guess. And I guess that's probably 15 or 16 years ago, which is when the podcast started. I want to thank you. This is Dr. Amen has done, and if I can praise you while you're listening, Daniel, Dr. Amen has done a great job. He got criticized a lot for being outspoken and for doing this, but all of us who are at the leading edge get criticized. And Dr. Amen has done just a magnificent job in letting us know what's important for our brain, in talking to us about our brain, in teaching us how to protect our brain and improve its function. And I can't think of anything more important and better to do. Thank you. And Dr. Amen has lived it. If you watch TV, he's lived all of this that he does. So Change Your Brain, Change Your Life is what he has done for himself and the rest of his group. And I can't wait to read Feel Better Fast and Make It Last. This is Dr. Daniel Amen. And Dr. Amen, I should ask you one more thing while we're there. You have clinics in, I know, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Reston, Virginia, which is in the Washington, D.C. area. I remember that you had one in Walnut Creek, California, because I used to live out there. Where else do you have them?
Bellevue, Washington, Costa Mesa, which is Southern California. We have a brand new clinic in the San Fernando Valley, just north of L.A., and Chicago.
So thank you very much for coming on, and please do something for your brain. That's the most important thing. And whether it is exercise or eating correctly, he and I could talk forever about what that means, because he is a real pro at it. So thank you very much for coming on. Ben, thank you for great engineering and you for downloading us. Please do tell your friends about us. 51,000 of you who download us weekly can't be wrong, I don't think. So thanks very much, and take what Dr. Amen says to heart and to your brain, because it is both that get you to change. Thanks again.